They talking all of this madness, talking all of this madness, talking all of this madness. They talking all of, they talking all of, they talking all of this madness, talking.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Matt Madness Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Alo Aaron Lloyd. I'm joined with my guy, Mr. Eric Eck Trembicki. How you doing, baby?
Doing good. Just happy to be here. I feel like we just did this.
Something like that. So to everybody on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, turn on your post notifications, thumbs up, leave a comment, and subscribe. If you're listening to the audio version, subscribe on all podcast platforms, iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. And make sure to head over to WonderManeuver.net for Matt Madness gear and Ringside Collectibles. Use promo code MMADNESS to save 10% off your order. So, Bestie, how you been? What have you been watching?
Oh, man. You know, well, been watching the regularly scheduled stuff. The main roster, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown. I didn't get to finish this week's Dynamite. I guess there's some stuff I'm behind on. I didn't finish the second half of SmackDown's draft. Life's been lifing. So with Valentino, was in Puerto Rico this past weekend. So didn't really get time to watch wrestling. It was pretty much this party. So,
all right. So for me, there was something I watched that kind of I couldn't believe I never watched. For the first time, I watched the rise and fall of ECW.
You've never seen that?
I had never saw it. I watched everything else but that.
I've watched it on the network, and I've watched the DVD probably 10 times.
So that's
one of those DVDs that, well, like, obviously we know the stats that was like the record setting DVD for many, many years. But I guess I was excited to buy that on DVD. Came across it in like 2014, and I purged when Suplex opened the wrestling store. I purged a bunch of DVDs to help give them some inventory, and I was like, "Yeah, well, this is one that can never go."
Yeah, so they were talking about it on the Major Pod one day, and I was just thinking about it. I was like, I never watched this, and you're right, that was their top selling non pay-per-view DVD of all time. And I didn't really learn nothing new, but I do think it was a really well done documentary. Yes. Very wild times. A few things I did learn were wild. What was it? Tommy Dreamer and Beulah with another girl and Tommy kissing both of them at the same time. Very wild times. Very, very wild times, but I did enjoy it. I'm glad I did watch it. Like I said, I didn't really learn much, but it was a really well done documentary. So I did see that. I did watch AEW Dynasty. I'm not sure if you got a chance to watch that. I'll give that show a high slobber knock. I really did enjoy it. Some things I could have went without, but of course, the talk out of that was Ospreay and Bryan. Definitely a match of the year contender. I also really enjoyed Pac and Okada.
Yeah, I actually did not get to watch it. I'm trying to remember. I think, I ended up having company that night. And I thought about ordering, and I was torn. I like most AEW pay-per-views, it appears to have really delivered. I did only watch the Okada and Danielson match because I was able to watch it the next day. We're going to get into it. Yeah, obviously I didn't finish this week's episode of Dynamite, but last week's episode of Dynamite, me personally, I would argue was best episode of not just 2024, maybe the best one in the last year plus. It was a really good episode. I had a nitpick or two, but I thought overall it was good. It left us on a good cliffhanger where I'm excited to watch the following week, which I felt like they haven't given me one of those in quite some time.
So that was it for me for everything I watched. So we'll kind of get right into that. So you were high on Dynamite last week. And last week was the whole Tony Khan take a bump angle, which he did carry over, which I did appreciate with the whole NFL draft and NFL Network interview. So he did carry that over for the entire weekend. Not as impressive as Triple H. I'm not sure if you remember this. When Triple H was feuding Brock. Triple H was feuding Brock. And
actually, May 4th.
What was that?
Is Cinco de Mayo? you're going to get into the Mayweather fight or May the 4th.
Was that May 4th?
It was Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Okay, yeah. Was it? Okay, yeah. When Triple H kayfabe the whole thing as part of the money team, which was great.
The reason I remember is there was an Abacus party that day, and it was on May 4th, and then we went and watched the fight right afterwards.
Oh, really? Okay, that's cool. Phil's in the chat, so what's up, Phil? I'm not sure if it's going through on Instagram, but I just wanted to say what's up to Phil. Yeah, so I did. So the Tony Khan angle.
There's that ass.
What were your thoughts on the whole Tony Khan taking a bump angle and the whole Jack Perry angle? Because we talked about this. Actually, we didn't get you to talk about this. We talk about it because the only thing they could do was build an angle out of this. And in my opinion, I'll just say this. I think they kind of did it the perfect way. But I'll let you go ahead and take this.
I'll say at first I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world to air the footage. I think their follow-up on it has been tremendous. I think also with this being a whole new elite and Jack Perry slowly joining it, I think it's great. You know, we know with the New Japan show when it was in Chicago, they booed him out of the building. But he's getting that heel return love and cheer when he first showed up in AEW. I'm enjoying it. And we know in wrestling, you know, you can make one promise in 5 years from now, hey, it could change, you know? Like Tony said in the beginning years of AEW, I'll never be used in an angle. All right, come on. That was 4 or 5 years ago. Him getting, you know, hit, I don't care about the sell job, whether good, bad, or indifferent, because the genetic jackhammer couldn't take a stunner at 47 or 77. So, you know, this guy taking his first bump and it looking rough, whatever. I think it was cool that he was attacked on storyline. I like that, slowly after a bunch of lower people in the card run out to try to save him. I love the neck brace, that whole gimmick during the draft. I did think it was hilarious. I don't think it was Pat McAfee. I think it was another, someone else on ESPN made a comment about, hey, if you're trying to sell this, how about you stop moving your head left and right, side to side? I thought it was hilarious. But, I'm here for it. I thought that episode was really good. The matches were good. And it really could have been made because it was in Daly's Place. Daly's Place usually always has a good feel to it. I'd argue this, and I don't remember specifically what happened that episode, but I feel like last week's episode was probably the best episode since last time they were in Daly's Place.
So I don't mind the angle because, like I said before, I threw it over to you. If you're going to do something like that, that's how you book it. Because, like you said, for example, nobody was checking for Jack Perry at all. We weren't. We saw he came to New Japan as a scapegoat and ripped up his AEW contract. After that, nobody cared. So if you want to bring back Jack Perry after that footage, which was perfect, and he was the reason that they won the tag titles, it's actually perfect because you can actually move off of that heel heat that he's going to get for that. And basically he could be your Dom Mysterio. Like everybody legit kind of like hates him to an extent. So it was perfect way done. And I didn't really get my thoughts on the EVP Young Bucks, but I do enjoy it because it's like, okay, like we're the EVPs. Like just own up to it. You know, I'm not the biggest Bucks guy, but this I do enjoy. Like one thing I didn't really enjoy with this EVP run is when I believe they told Tony Schiavone, we'll give you like a $25 Amazon gift card. Cause we all know like all jobs do that. So I didn't like really pop for that, but it's like, yeah, like you kind of throw your power around a little bit and
finding random people in the back, or threatening to find people for like showing up late. I've been enjoying everything they've been doing with this new character role.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. The only downfall I will say is,
sorry to cut you off. I do know I need to go back and rewatch their match with FTR.
Okay, so I'm not. So let me go back a little second. I'm not sure. Do you know what happened with Kenny tonight?
No, I'm paused at the 8:58 minute mark. So
okay. So the interesting thing is going to be, I'm assuming Kenny is not going to join the Bucks.
No, he's going to come back face for sure. Yeah,
back on I guess Tony's side or whatever Tony's on call his version of AEW, but Kenny's going to be on the opposition of the Bucks. So interesting to see what's going to happen from there. So you have to assume it's going to be Kenny and FTR, and we'll have to find somebody else. But the person I think is going to have the downfall is Swerve, because it seemed like he was forgotten last week on Dynamite.
The first week, but they opened with him strong. Do you know anything about what transpired on Dynamite?
Today, no.
Well, we have his opponent for Double or Nothing.
I did see who it is. It's Christian, and I'm looking forward to that.
And it was actually done very, very well. Christian's pretty much, we think, you know, Christian comes out there, it's just going to be mic work, and then his henchmen are going to do. And rated before he says a word, he cracks him with the microphone.
He cracks Swerve?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then eventually, like, he gets into it. He may have said it before up on the stage, but, like, he does get into it, like, because they were in a multi-man tag match at All In. He's like, AEW's biggest show ever. You let me down. We lost. I don't forget you breaking it to my son, Nick Wayne's training facility and leaving him a bloody mess. He mentioned something out, and then he's like, I've been waiting for my right moment to get back at you. And unfortunately for you, you won the AEW world title. Now I'm ready. Mm-hmm. So actually done pretty well. And it was cool because it was the Bucks to announce that it would be Christian to go for him.
Okay, cool. Because I did see Tony Khan was in Jacksonville via satellite. I did see that. But like I said, it's funny how he's not scared for his life and he's in a neck brace. But I'm looking forward to Christian. Anything Christian does is amazing. Anything. Christian can do no wrong in my heart. So I'm really looking forward to that. I just hope Swerve doesn't get the short end of the stick, because we know how it is when, like, the guy that's not the top guy is the world champion. He could be the world champion, get treated like a mid-carder. So I hope it's not the situation with Swerve. I don't think we'll about – go ahead.
I still – and who knows, because I'm not trying to knock Christian, but I would still think, like, Swerve goes on last at Double or Nothing. I mean, you know, the Bucks angle was the second match. It wasn't the opener. It was, you know, it was really filler territory. So I don't know. I think they'll still do right by Swerve.
Well, it's not the card position, because AEW does a pretty good job of having the world title as the main event. It's more like remember when Hangman was champion? Like, we all wanted it, but it's not. It's like he wasn't. They didn't like. He didn't feel like the champion. And we've seen it in WWE, WWF for our entire lives as well. It just happens. It's natural. So I just hope that Swerve kind of gets that main event treatment and feels like the world champion.
I could almost see that Hangman feud being revisited with the world title, because Hangman wasn't fired from the Elite. It was Kenny was fired from the Elite. Hangman was suspended from the Elite. So I do think when he returns, he'll be realigning with the Bucks, and now with Okada and Perry.
Yeah, and that was a marquee feud throughout the winter. So we have to assume that might potentially be the that's too far down the road.
After Double or Nothing, we'll have Forbidden Door.
It won't be at Forbidden Door. So it'd have to be sometime late in the summer. So maybe All Out, All In. One of those shows will get.
I don't know if it's Wrestle Dream. I think
Wrestle Dream's after. Is it? I know Fighter Fest, but I'm not sure if that's a TV thing.
That is a TV thing.
Okay, yeah. So we'll see. But Hangman and Swerve will definitely get revisited. One more thing about AEW before we get into the Backlash and WWE talk. Mercedes Moné. It's been a kind of a hot topic going on the internet. Me and you have not talked about it. The one thing I will say before I throw it to you is, I don't know how you can go from a bad theme song to a worse one, because those songs are fucking awful. The first song when she went to New Japan was god awful. This is worse. It's so bad. Like, I don't know who approved it. Bad.
It's bad. I want you to go all the way with this before I touch it.
Okay, so it's really like the theme song is really bad, and we all, and also when it comes to these people, wrestlers, when they go from promotion to promotion, we can kind of judge them from one character to another. So it's like in WWE, for example, I like Paige. I'm not the biggest Saraya person. I love Sasha Banks, and we know I love Sasha Banks. The jury's still out on Mercedes Moné, because even in New Japan, you know, her strengths is wrestling, but she hasn't wrestled yet in AEW. And we know she can talk on the mic, but she needs kind of like some substance to go off of. And I do think that they were in the right position by throwing her Willow Nightingale. That's something that I thought was smart, because if you're going to throw in like these New Japan titles and New Japan moments every now and then, at least start her off with something that was actually built in the last time that we saw her. Like that New Japan title, that was built exactly specifically for Mercedes Moné, but since she got hurt in that match with Willow, Willow had to win it. So they're going right back to it. I think that was the right idea. But the only thing is, since she's debuted, she just shows up in these hit-or-miss outfits and hit-or-miss looks. And it's like, huh, like, I'm not going to say it's a waste of money, like Eric Bischoff is saying, because she hasn't had her first match yet, and I understand why. It's marketing. It's business. You want to sell the first match at Double or Nothing. I understand that 100%. But from what we've gotten so far, it's been her weaknesses, and that's her coming out and talking and not having anything really to go off of. Go ahead.
Well, so not just that. So TK said in the media scrum, so she's not approved to wrestle right now. She's not clear to wrestle right now. So I get it. They had a show in Boston. Let's roll her out. The song Good, Bad, or Indifferent in Boston, it was a hit.
Of course. Every it was Boston. Since.
Well, then, hold on. Here's the thing. Because it was in Boston and the reaction to it, all the cheers and the chanting sounded like it was just the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Every week since, you're like, oh, this is just the song.
Yeah.
So, flaw number one. Flaw number two, she debuted, 6 weeks ago? So we're talking she debuts, and it's, you know, again, like it's, I'm going to contradict myself, because I said, like, with TK getting into a physical angle, like, yeah, you can do something where, like, you make a rule. Oh, you make a statement. I'm not going to be in a physical angle. And then years later, all right, put them in one. Cool. Your mind changed. However, it's like wins and losses matter, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So then she's just going to make the claim. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm challenging the winner. I'm going to challenge for the TBS title at AEW Double or Nothing. So you're signed to the company for 2.5 months. You call your shot. You're going to have a match then, and it's for a title. Then, you know, Tony's got to come out and say, oh, those rules and, like, winning, it matters for every title but the TNT and the TBS, which, good for them. They can kind of say, yeah, because both those titles do have open challenge things that go on often. But really, Mercedes got to stay away from the TV, because her promo every time she's been on TV has been the exact same thing. Nothing's changed. There's no character to it. Unfortunately, she's going to get the baby face reaction no matter what. But, like, maybe it would have just been so much better if she could have been more of a heel, because obviously we all know Sasha was better as a heel. And Mercedes is just – honestly, I forget she's with the company. And then when she comes out now, I'm just like, once I see her in these questionable outfits – and I say questionable, I'm just saying, because it's like, I know she's not about to get in the ring. I'm like, I don't care. Like, if she can't – again, I have an hour left of Dynamite. I assume she doesn't come out, but if she comes out and she's not in ring gear, like, all right, cool. I'll go get another beer.
Yeah, and a lot of people were comparing it to Jade Cargill, but there's a big difference. Jade Cargill wasn't as exposed as Mercedes is.
Yeah.
Jade Cargill, it was noted as a free agent, and they just showed legit, less than 30-second glimpses of her, and she's glimpses not claiming it.
Promos, yes.
Yeah, she's not claiming anything. So that's the major difference when it comes to that. But it's like, right, like I said, like there you can, like, when you jump promotions, there's this character and there's this character. And I 100% agree with her first match being at Double or Nothing, because that is your selling point. But that is your biggest, that is, I guess you could say, your big, one of your two top biggest pay-per-views of the year. So I 100% agree with that. But I'm just not, I haven't been feeling it. Like you said, it's just she just conspires. She feels like a jag at this point.
Yeah, it's forgettable to me. I'll tell you that much.
All right, so going to WWE, we had the WWE Keeper League, because if you play fantasy football, that's exactly what it pretty much was, a keeper league instead of a draft. I believe we only had actually 5 talents change shows. And we had a few NXT call-ups. We had Lyra Valkyria, Kiana James, which I was really shocked. I do like Kiana James. I think she has potential, but I was really shocked that she got called up. And also we also had Dijak, and Carmelo Hayes is officially drafted to SmackDown. He had a great match with Cody. So your thoughts on the draft before I shit on Dad?
Retire it and give me an opportunity on how I can tell you to fix it.
Okay, so these drafts. Okay, so thank God we got away from the lottery system. The closest draft they had to a real draft that was good was 2016. Because I'm not sure if you remember.
There's only been 2 good ones, and you're right.
Well, I would say this. I would say there's 3, but the 2016 one was the closest thing to how I would execute it. So 2016. You know, they had the picks on TV. And then at the time, the WWE Network was a thing. And it was immediately after the show, you had WWE Network to see the rest of the draft. And they had like Moro and whoever the hell backstage, like doing the draft. Like they're showing highlights of the people, interviewing people. That's where you got the legendary Lucha thing promo from Kalisto. And a very sad Alberto Del Rio when they split him and Paige up on purpose. So it was real historical. But that was the closest thing to the draft that we could actually get. Now, I know they're not going to dedicate a whole TV show to a draft like the NBA or NFL draft. You know, they're going to have wrestling matches on the show. You know, but there's small things that they could do that they have done. Like you could have like people sitting in the locker room, like the hallway, like they did an NXT and things like that. But there's so much you could do to improve this draft. But for nobody to really change shows of importance was just wild to me. And it's just like, come on, man. Like this is pointless at this point. It really was a waste of time. I'm like, really? Like nobody changed. Like I'm watching on my phone and I'm scrolling through like he's already on this show. This makes absolutely positively zero sense.
Granted, there's 7, 6, 7, 8 maybe years I didn't watch wrestling, and I don't know how many drafts happened during them. I think one of the ones that you're saying there was 3 good ones, I think probably fell during that period. But I feel like this got to be one of the dumbest ones ever. Like, isn't this uncommon where like the champions are off limits?
It's. I would say yes, but the thing was when they would get drafted, they would drop the title when they would defend it. So, for example, like let's say I'm trying to think who dropped the title. Like, I know 1 year Sheamus was the U.S. champion, and he got drafted to one show, and Kofi was the challenger, got drafted to another show.
Yeah.
So Kofi beat him and then took that title to the show that the belt was originally on.
Yes. I think like in 17 or 18, like Jinder Mahal got drafted with the U.S. title, then Jeff Hardy beat him, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like that makes sense in a way. Or like I always like the idea of like, and this has happened, like the same show drafts the SmackDown. I'm sorry. The same show drafts the Intercontinental and the U.S. title. So somebody from the other show wins one of them before the draft's over. Like that's always cool. And I almost like, as predictable as that is, I'm here for that. Like give us that rather than – and I could understand, like, oh, these new tag titles were just issued. So, like, we don't want to. All right, cool. Then draft A-Town Down Under to SmackDown. Draft Awesome Truth to Raw. And then just, you know, keep it going. And then, if anything, flip-flop them mid-card titles.
No. Well, you mean, like if I draft the U.S. title and I'm going to draft the IC title, is that what you mean? Because I don't want no more title swaps. Because those were terrible.
Yeah, title swap's the dumbest thing in the history. I mean, Monday Night Raw drafts Logan Paul, the U.S. Championship's now on Raw. Sami Zayn could have got drafted to SmackDown, vice versa. Or Gable gets drafted to SmackDown, and then Gable challenges Zayn and beats him for the title, and then takes it there.
Because I believe Logan Paul is listed as a free agent. I'm almost positive I did see that. Mm-mm. But like,
maybe if he drops the belt, but no, he's on SmackDown.
Okay, because I was 100% fine with them with the champions being locked. I was fine with that. I was like, okay, I do like that. I do appreciate that because like the, so it's like I said, we can avoid those title swaps or those predictable title changes. So I was 100% completely okay with that. So we talked about the drafts. What's your best draft?
The first one, and yes. Then 2016.
Okay, so the first one, there's an episode with me and Pash that's in the archives. We reviewed the first draft, which was excellent. The 2016 one was done the best, I think, but it was executed the best, I think. But the best draft was a 2002 draft. Now,
the original.
Yeah, and that the third one is the 2004 draft. Now, it was the random Tumblr system between Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, but it was done well. Like we had I believe Nydia went to Raw or whatever, but like you had like guys drafted that were returning from injury. I know Edge got drafted in that draft. It was the infamous time when Eric Bischoff drafted Paul Heyman, who was the GM of SmackDown. And that's the last time you saw Paul Heyman as the GM of SmackDown. It was really fun. So I would say that's the third one. But after that, we pretty much got that lottery system, which was god awful. And the worst one of all time is when they had John Cena go to Raw, get drafted to SmackDown in the first draft choice.
At the beginning,
at the end, he goes back to Raw.
I'll be honest. One. That's the one I thought you were going to say was in the top three.
Oh, no.
So again, I wasn't a fan during that, but I've seen the clips or I've seen majority of that episode of Raw enough where it seems like that it was acclaimed or critically acclaimed or at least as good in the ideas of the eyes of WWE because it's replayed.
Yeah, and then like you also got I talked about the backstage shots. Like you got the infamous shots of like when Ric Flair drafted The Undertaker. You know, you got infamous shots like that. The moments. Even the 2004 draft when
The Rock. Yeah. And again, all from that 0-2.
Yeah, but even like the 0-4 one, you had Triple H. Well, you had Triple H getting drafted to SmackDown. He's a part of Evolution, but then saying he didn't want to work Tuesdays.
Did he literally say that on the show?
No,
I didn't watch. I've never seen that one.
No, he didn't say it on the show, but he got drafted to SmackDown on the draft of the 0-4 draft, and later on he fought Eddie Guerrero for the WWE title on Raw. So it's a rare. So you got a rare Triple H versus Eddie Guerrero match. For the WWE Championship, but then
how did he get back to Raw?
It was a trade. It was
because
I know I think RVD got dragged because RVD and Booker T were tag team champions at this time. This is right after WrestleMania 20, so RVD and Booker T lost the tag titles, but Triple H got traded for Booker T and the Dudleys to go back to Raw on the next episode of SmackDown. It was taped the next day, but aired Thursday. And then that's when you got Booker T turned heel at the whole situation. But there were moments like that you get by just having kind of like that sit down area where everybody getting drafted. The things you'll always remember. But the worst one was that whole John Cena getting drafted first and then drafted again as the last pick of draft. It was fucking awful.
Well, I don't know. The 2024, I think, can compare.
Nothing's worse than that lottery system at all. It couldn't get.
It almost like I love. I've heard it from several other media outlets, but like draft, like in pro sports, they're drafting people from the minors. Like I wish, like and like they used to always say like, oh, like Vince would say, hey, no, we're not supposed to quote him, but when the draft's coming, oh, we're gonna shake things up, like a superstar shakeup, like. I wish they did do half of it. We're like, all right, cool. We're going to do four picks and it's going to be trade, trade, trade. And then the rest is, hey, we're going to draft from NXT. Or the fact that the draft logo had yellow intertwined into it. Like, why couldn't NXT get one, two, three, or just one? Why couldn't they get like two draft picks? I'm going to take one person from Raw. I'm going to take one person from SmackDown. And we're going to put them here to shake NXT up. Maybe help get NXT more eyes. At the same time, like, I don't know, did the Good Brothers end up on a roster? Are they really just down in NXT
now? I don't recall. No, they got drafted. I know that because I saw a graphic. I think they got drafted to SmackDown. I'm almost positive, but they still show up on NXT.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the draft, guys. So we have Backlash this Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m., which I love. Because I can actually watch it throughout the day. So I love that idea of it being in France. So I'll just say right from the jump, there is not a lot of build here to anything. So this is like legit like house show. You could put house show build. But I do think this show will be amazing. Because they're overseas. You know, the crowd is going to be hot. And all these matches on paper, they
should deliver.
They will deliver. So we'll start with WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes defending against AJ Styles. This should be way more than what they're making it to be, because this is the first time the guys have ever faced off.
We got one more chance Friday night for them to help build to it.
They can't do it for me to build that, because this is something that could have been built bigger, especially with history, and they kind of hit on that. On their contract signing a little bit, you know, both four members of the Bullet Club.
They have another
The travels they got. AJ talked about this too, the travels, but there's so much more to this that they had not touched on. Who you got? Any thoughts?
I had some thoughts. My prediction is going to be Cody. My concern, they have a booked face-to-face segment coming up on SmackDown, already had the contract signing. I'm glad you touched on it. The history, both of them being lead members in Bullet Club. I'm nervous due to the crowd that the dead crowd reaction Cody got when he made a Bullet Club reference in a promo with Roman, that they're not going to let them touch on that. Because I feel like they normally would. I would love, and I know like AJ was respectful in the contract signing, and I would love to see that, like, after AJ puts him over, I would love to see the two of them too sweet in the ring. Big Mark moment. I think that would be super cool. Outside of when he wins the Rumble or wins a big match, you know, he had a live show where he too sweeted the Good Brothers, but I think that's the only time he's really too sweet as someone in the company, unless he did it with like KO or something. So I think it would be pretty cool to see him and AJ do it.
All right. I'm going to go with Cody as well. Then we have the World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Damian Priest defending against Jey Uso.
I would love Jey Uso to win, turn this into a little hot potato belt, but Damian's clearly going to win. And before Valentina went to bed, she said, I still haven't ordered her a Yeet shirt. So
waiting for that 40% off.
It was actually funny because she was like, your sweater's so soft. I was like, actually, they got kid size. I was like, you know, if you're good this weekend, we'll order you on Sunday. She's like, no, let's order me my Yeet shirt. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I got you. Be good this weekend.
It's funny because when I had all my stuff on the floor and stuff down here, well, the room was getting painted. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you'll see I have my basement's painted now. So
he's not relocated; it's just new paint.
Yeah. So Leah was like touching stuff, and I couldn't find stuff. Stuff's all over the place, and I was giving her a bath, and she's like, "Daddy, I like wrestling." I'm like, oh, "Okay, well, who's your favorite?" And she's like, "Molly and Brett." Because Bret Hart, and she grabbed my Mighty Molly off the shelf. So like, okay, that's cute.
That is.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Damian Priest as well. And speaking of the Judgment Day, this kind of goes hand in hand with it. We had Becky Lynch win the Women's Rumble Battle Royal to become the Women's World Champion, and Liv Morgan is on a revenge tour. So I'm not. Have you seen my reel on Instagram about this?
Of course.
Okay. So you know my thoughts. I'll reiterate it after you go. So go ahead.
I'm here for it. I'm actually gonna tip my hat. I love the way this is unfolded. My only nitpick. I enjoyed the Battle Royal. Thought the Battle Royal was great. Main event of Monday Night Raw, declaring you're guaranteed a new champion, roughly 15 women in it. And my only gripe is before the finish, Becky went through the ropes and, you know, Liv was competing as if that she would hit her move, Becky would be eliminated and lose. I just wish they could have fixed that a little bit so Becky would have went over the top and they would have been doing whatever. But I like it. It's a good – it's very rare. I think they said this was the fourth Battle Royal ever a world championship has been decided in WWE. I would have thought it's been more than that. I know a couple other media outlets and friends that we know that podcast, they butchered this. They thought it was a terrible idea. I think it's great. A title's vacant. And what do you do? A tournament, a gauntlet match, and then you put the last two people. No, this is cool. Give me a battle royal all the time. Love battle royals. Battle royal for a number one contender. And you know what? To me, obviously, I've been preaching on this show for 20 years. A battle royal is I'm here for, especially when you got something really, really on the line for it. I mean, they could have done a battle royal to be a number one contender. And like, all right, cool. Let's pay attention. Let's see who's going to win. Let's see if any other feuds are coming out of this. But get that feel-good moment. Becky is a household name. Liv's got the storyline. Liv was the runner-up. And then now we're getting her, you know, facing after. I love everything. It makes sense. I'm hoping Liv takes it at Backlash. That's going to be my prediction and my want. I could see this going on for a rematch and her eventually winning, but I'd love to see her win it this weekend.
Well, they're not having a match this weekend.
Oh.
No, No. I was just because it had hand-in-hand with Judgment Day. So,
see, I'm so excited about it that I'm already predicting it's happening somewhere where it's not, so...
So remember I talked about – I got into a debate with a person on TikTok. This is what it was about.
Yeah, that was silly.
This is what it was about. So he was saying – the person was saying that WWE fails to create new stars. I'm like, okay, so they don't create new stars because Liv didn't win some battle royal, but she's going to beat Becky. So I'll reiterate what I said on my Instagram reel and on TikTok. It was that – this is the Liv Morgan revenge tour. If you think about Liv, Liv's come up short all year. Royal Rumble, she was the last two. Elimination Chamber match, she was the last two. It was a quick finish for her to lose in that match. The WrestleMania, she was trying to get the Rhea, but didn't get her opportunity. And now they fall into the storyline where Rhea has the same injury that she had, which is completely ironic, but it's kind of like perfect. They fall right into this. And she says she's coming for it all. And and you see her with Dom, and per kayfabe, Dom's going to be very lonely while mommy's gone. And I know you've seen the clip of him leaving a room with Liv. So the idea of Liv coming after everything Rhea Ripley had, I think is perfect because, like I said, like she's already been seen with Dom. Who knows? She may even try to like become a member of the Judgment Day, replace Rhea and be the new mommy, you know, because she's going to be Dom's mommy, of course. But there's a lot of this, and there is more than winning some battle. There's more story to tell instead of winning some battle royal that's pretty much going to be meaningless. Beating Becky Lynch is the bigger deal than winning some battle royal. It really is. You guys just sat through Cody finishing a story that took a year to tell. You can't wait fucking 2-3 months.
You can't argue with wrestling fans. It's like we always say, the worst part about being a wrestling fan is wrestling fans.
Yes. So it's like, you can't wait fucking you can wait a year for Cody to finish a story and have a whole hashtag finish story, but you can't wait fucking 2-3 months for Liv to defeat Becky, because I wasn't sure what was going on with Liv because Liv was still face. Because basically she's still, you know, she's still shaking hands and kissing babies. So I was like, okay, she's still considered face. She hasn't had that full on heel turn yet. So when that happened, that's a part of the story, her turning heel. And when she beats Becky, it's going to be a bigger deal. And then after that, you're going to get breadcrumbs throughout her reign. And with Dom and the rest of Judgment Day and basically getting everything Rhea had. And that's what we can expect from this whole Liv Morgan thing. So I'm really looking forward to this entire story that they have.
Are you looking forward to seeing it at Backlash?
I wish. Also, what we do have at Backlash is a triple threat for the women's title. It's Bayley, Tiffany Stratton, and Naomi. I'm really looking forward to this. I hope this match delivers. Tiffany always shines in these times, and I'm sure that crowd's going to love her because, you know, she gets all the attention on these overseas shows.
Yeah. I'll jump right into my prediction. I don't think Bayley's dropping the title that quick, so I see Bayley retaining.
Yeah, I think Bayley's going to pin Naomi, and then we get the Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton because I'm really looking forward to that because we talked about this.
Is Naomi going to Raw?
No, she's on SmackDown.
Oh.
Yeah, like I said, nobody moved. Jeez. Nobody moved at all. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this match. I'm looking forward to a potential Bayley and Tiffany Stratton feud. And women's tag team titles on the line. Damage Control defends against Jay Cargill and Bianca Belair. I'm predicting new tag team champions, as I predicted going into WrestleMania, that this would be the tag team. And then this is your women's main, your women's marquee match at next year's WrestleMania. So I'm going with Bianca and Jay to win the tag team titles here.
My best friend speaks for me.
All right. And then something we haven't touched on, we got RKO taking on the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. Thoughts on the whole new Solo situation? We haven't talked about this.
I'm here for it. There's little things that, like, I remember like a month or two ago, I think I messaged in the group chat. I was like, when did he start wearing boots? And then now he's like, doesn't got the taped up hands, got gloves on. He looked ridiculous in a suit jacket. Thank you. Yeah, he looks silly in the suit jacket. I mean, I like the more intimidating him acting like he's running the Bloodline, and we'll see if that has some legs to it. What I'd rather speak on is the debut of Tama Tonga. I argue this. I hate because it's rare when the internet wrestling trolls make a good point. How is it Tama Tonga debuting, not a WWE guy, not a returning guy, debuting in the company from New Japan straight to the main roster? He hasn't even had a match yet, and they debut him better than they debut 80% of people from NXT.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue.
I'm here for it.
And also, it's built in. He's a Samoan. It's built in at this point.
He's Tongan.
It's built in at this point, so I don't disagree. Now, did you give your thoughts on like Solo basically being in charge, and what's this lead to?
It's gonna lead to Roman's face turn when he returns, and we're gonna see Roman versus Solo, and then, you know, either that'll come first or second, and then we'll see. Babyface Bloodline versus heel Bloodline, I guess. I'm not really I hate to be negative Nancy. I'm not necessarily excited to see the Usos back together. I'm down with Jay Solo for life. Like, I need him with a singles title. That's my guy. He's too over.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if they'll do that with the U.S. title, because for whatever reason, he had the interaction with Logan Paul on
he's on Raw. Jay's on Raw.
You're right.
And Logan's over in SmackDown.
You're right. So we'll see. We'll see. Because I'm all in for a Jay singles title run, which for whatever title it is. And we all know, like, they'll slow burn the Usos getting back together. But this whole idea, like, Solo being in charge, like, first of all, he's got some nerve because he lost, like, how many matches in a row. But I will appreciate this. He kept the same energy because, remember last year, They disowned the Usos for losing at WrestleMania, losing their titles. And now he's, quote-unquote, technically disowning Roman. So I do like the fact that he's keeping the same energy. Mm-hmm. And the only person to win at WrestleMania was The Rock, technically. So I believe that The Rock is planning in the Solo, look, you're the guy. You take care of this until I get back. And it's like I said, we talked about The Rock getting his match with Cody Rhodes for the title, and how are we going to book Rock versus Roman? There's so many possibilities. Like you just talked about Bloodline versus Bloodline at I don't know if you said it at Survivor Series, but as a possibility because we have War Games. Even though I don't think Rock will work a War Games match, but there's so many possibilities we can get out of this.
Shouldn't be a hard match for him. He come out last, it's very possible. At that rate, you and I could work a War Games match.
Yeah, so there's so many possibilities we could get out of this. So I'm looking forward to it because it's a lot of layers to this, and this Bloodline story isn't over. And we talked about this too. Like the moment Roman lost the title, he's gonna be the biggest babyface whenever he does come back. I'm not sure. We're not sure how long he'll be gone.
Leukemia couldn't make him a babyface, but this will. It's outstanding.
So we'll have to see. But The Rock is definitely being the puppet master when it comes to this because, like, we never got a finish until we never got a clarification. Like when he's throwing up the one and the L. So, like, when it comes to this whole Bloodline thing, it's like, can these two egos coexist? And it's going to play out that they can't because you can't have these two guys on that high level of playing field kind of, like, deferring to another. And Roman – and, like I said, Rock can get into Solo's head, like, look, I'm the head of the table. I was here first. I'm the movie star, et cetera. So there's a lot of layers. I'm really excited about this. So we'll have to see where everything goes from there.
For sure.
And I think that is it for the card. That is it. Oh, and that is it unless they add something else.
Yeah, maybe that short of a card. I feel like SmackDown's going to add one more match, but we shall see.
Yes. Yeah, so short card should be a good show. I'm looking forward to it. Got anything else for me?
Well, just as we're on the topic of The Rock, I am looking forward to him and Seven Bucks Productions new series coming out.
I did see the trailer.
Yeah, trailer for Who Killed WCW. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fire.
Yeah. Speaking of Rock, I did purchase some Papa Tui, by the way.
Did you use it yet? And yeah. What did you get? Everything?
So, well, I got the face cleanser and I got the moisturizer. I have like real dry skin. Because I use like...
I've been meaning to tell you.
So like I use like basic moisturizer before like I can't remember the brand I would buy, but when I saw that he had like the whole thing, I'm like, you know what, let me try this. So I do like it. It lasts way longer than the one I was using. Good. So I really do like it. I also did buy the deodorant too. So
what do you think about the deodorant?
It's good.
Which one did you get? What color is the stick?
Blue.
I got the green one. And I don't.
Because I actually have two, but I didn't use the other one yet. But the one I use is blue.
I rotate, use the green one, and I have the brand I was using previously, I think holds up a little better. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, maybe I got to give another one of the scents a chance. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't want to rule the brand out. I just, my first experience with the deodorant isn't. It's not laying the smackdown.
Yeah, but it's laying the smackdown on my face. My face has been impeccable, and you know, I can't let this crack over here. So, gotta keep it up.
It doesn't crack easily, I hear.
Things go hand in hand. Drink water, everybody. All right, got anything else? While I grab my seltzer.
No, that's it. That's all.
All right, guys. All right, everybody. So thanks for watching on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe, thumbs up, turn your post notifications, leave a comment. And thank you for everybody listening on all podcast platforms. And subscribe to the podcast, Ringside Collectibles, and man, I save 10% off your order. For Ek2 Fly, Eric Trembicki, I'm Alo Aaron Lowe. We will see you guys soon.
Talking all of this madness, they talking all of they. Hop on the top rope, about to land with this elbow. Got him now, put him down right now, hit him with the palm handle.